There are more than 2 billion Facebook and Instagram users. 2 billion. You know, what do we have? About 7 billion people in the who are living right now. That's almost a third. And these are people who are eager to get to have followers, to get likes. If you want more likes and followers, let me give you a suggestion. You might want to post pictures of your pets. But this is Jif Pom. That's this little dog's name, Jif Pom. And Jif has more than 8 million followers. 8 million. I don't even dare to ask, are any of you followers of Jif Pom? And then we have Waffles the Cat. Waffles the Cat has, he only has 500,000 followers. And then we have one more. We have Pumpkin the Raccoon. And Pumpkin the Raccoon has 1.5 million followers. And if you care to know, Pumpkin lives in the Bahamas. But honestly, what truly matters is not pleasing Instagram or Facebook followers with pictures of ourselves or of our pets. It's pleasing God. And pleasing God is such a vital thing, for life comes to those who please God, and death comes to those who do not. And so it makes sense to understand what is needful to please God. If it's so important, we need to understand what's involved to please God. And this will be our focus this morning. And our text is that familiar passage that I read in Hebrews chapter 11. Primarily, we'll be looking at verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. I mean, that speaks of effort. That speaks of putting your heart into seeking God. And we find here our 2 points for this message, and they are to please God. Number one, we need to believe God. And then secondly, to believe God, we must walk with God. So we need to believe God, and we need to walk with God. Under point number one, to please God, we must believe that God is. In other words, we must believe that God exists. For verse 6 says, but without faith, and there is the belief, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. In other words, again, that he exists. Now, in his book, Your God is Too Small, J.B. Phillips describes some of the gods people have conceived. Some of the gods they believe exist. For example, one of the gods is this granddad man god, who is the grandfatherly, white-haired, indulgent god who smiles down on men and winks at their adultery, their drunkenness, their stealing, their cheating, their lying. That's the granddad man god. Now let me say, you don't want a god who dismisses sin. And then there's the resident policeman God, whose primary job is to make life difficult and unenjoyable. In other words, this God takes the fun out of life. He's the killjoy God. No one wants to follow this God. And then there's the God in the box, who is the private and exclusive sectarian God. You know, religion is supposed to be personal, and we've all heard of that, so this is the God that maybe such those who want their God to just, or their religion to just be personal, this is maybe their God, the God in the box. And then there's the managing director God, the God of the deists, who designed and created the universe, started it spinning, but now stands back and watches it all run down. That's the managing director God. Now, I don't know about you, but none of these gods sound appealing to me. I would be really, I think, in trouble if that was, or one of these was my God. Thankfully, none of these idolatrous substitutes are God, and we are relieved. We would not have hope if one of these was our God. Again, to please God, we must believe that God, the God of the Scripture, exists. And he is who he says he is. And certainly there is evidence, much evidence, to prove that God is. For example, the law of cause and effect holds that for every cause, there must be an effect, which reasons that if you keep pushing farther and farther back for causes, eventually you will end up with an uncaused cause, and the only uncaused cause is God. Hebrews 3:4 states, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." In other words, the final cause has to be God, so God must exist. Now, according to the law of entropy, the universe is running down, and since it is running down, it is not self-sustaining. And if it's not self-sustaining, then it had to have a beginning. And if it had a beginning, someone had to begin it. And only God qualifies for the first cause. Further, the law of design also points to God's existence, meaning when we look at planets and animals and all their marvelous intricacies, I mean, you look at the beautiful plants that we have here. When we look at the stars, when we look at the planets, which are kept perfectly in their orbits, we must conclude only God could qualify to be their designer and keeper. I mean, have you ever looked at an ant and said, how could that ant just come to pass? And doesn't the Bible tell us that God upholds all things by the word of his power? Now, even the size of the earth gives evidence of a designer, of intelligent design. For if the earth was much smaller, there would be no atmosphere to sustain life. Our earth would then resemble the moon or Mars. But then on the other hand, if it were much larger, the atmosphere would contain free hydrogen, as do Jupiter and Saturn, which also prevents life. Further, the Earth's distance from the sun is absolutely right. It's that perfect distance. Even a small change would make it too hot or too cold. And the tilt of the Earth's axis ensures that we have seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. I'm glad we have seasons. I'm looking forward to the fall. I guess when the fall is over, I'm looking forward to spring. Amen? But again, science cannot prove God, but it does give overwhelming evidence of a master designer and sustainer whose roles can only logically and legitimately be filled by God. Regarding man, to think that personal, conscious, rational, creative, volitional man somehow developed from slime to an amoeba and then on up the evolutionary chain does not truly make sense to me. Now, if you want your family tree to have monkeys swinging from trees, that's your call. But I can promise you, I have not that DNA in my family tree. And I say that very sincerely. And so the very idea of God lends substance to the fact that he is. The fact that a man can conceive of God suggests that someone has given him that possibility of such conception, and that there is this someone who corresponds to that conception. Now, please understand, even with all the natural and scientific and rational evidences of God, remember, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day out of speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Acknowledging him, acknowledging that God is still a matter of faith. Remember, 1 John 5:10 states, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. Which all means you and I believe God exists not because of the rational proofs, and yes, they do prove the existence of God, but because the Holy Spirit witnesses to us that God is. And thus we believe. Amen? And thus we believe. Which brings us to point number two. To please God, we must not only believe God is, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Which means we walk with him. One author writes, it is not enough simply to believe that God exists. In order to please him, it is also necessary to believe that he is moral and just. End of quote. And I add, and consequently, he will reward faith, and that he will reward faith in him. Which tells us true saving faith then manifests itself in good works. Remember, James tells us faith without works is what? Is dead. Which means living faith walks with God. Living faith walks with God. In fact, the Greek for please or pleased is the Septuagint rendering, and the Septuagint, I'm not trying to get fancy here, but the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. The Greek for please or pleased in the Septuagint rendering of the Hebrew phrase means to walk with. Please means to walk with. Again, we please God when we walk with God. And is it really that true of any relationship? If you call me a friend and I call you a friend, and if we never commune, if we never fellowship, if we never have spend time together, if we never walk through life together, how can that be pleasing to one another? We please God when we walk with God. Which brings me to say, believing that God exists is the first step toward faith. Believing that he rewards those who trust in him is the first step of faith, which is then followed by communing with God, walking with him. In fact, the term walk is used to represent faithful living. And I think of verses such as Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 adds, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We please God when we believe God, and when that faith in God is acted upon. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, we allow the Spirit of God to direct our walk, to direct our steps. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. How do we walk in newness of life? We walk in faith. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in love. One more verse here, Revelation 3:4, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. If we walk in newness of life, walk in faith, walk in the Spirit, walk in love? Does your life demonstrate a love for God? Does your life demonstrate a love for one another? And I know we can be very general when we say that, but that is a walk that pleases God. They are worthy who walk in such a way. Now, a prime example of someone who pleased God was Enoch, who, as Genesis 5, 22 and 24 state, walked with God. In verse 22, it says Enoch walked with God. In verse 24, it says that Enoch walked with God. And then notice in our text of Hebrews chapter 11, we see what is said of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he did what? He pleased God. Again, what does it mean to please God? It means you what? Walk with God. Ladies and gentlemen, grab hold of this truth. To please God, you've got to walk with God. You have to walk life with God. And I would think that that would be something that you would want to do, is to please God. Now, what is implied, and we've already looked at this to some degree, but what is implied in walking with God? Let me kind of specify here a little bit. Several things, and the first is reconciliation. Amos 3:3 states, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Which all tells us walking together with God means we are in agreement with God. Before salvation, we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. Because we were by nature the children of wrath, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. But with salvation comes reconciliation with God, and thus we can now walk with Him. It's hard to walk with someone you're at odds with. It's hard to walk, in fact, it's impossible to walk with someone that really has an adverse feeling towards you. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took the hand of God and the hand of man and he joined them together. And thus, there is reconciliation. What a beautiful thing when you are reconciled to God. You want God to be your friend. You want God to be your friend. Second, walking with God implies a corresponding nature. 2 Peter 1:4 states that salvation means that we are partakers of this divine, of His divine nature. In Christ, we are given a heavenly nature, and therefore we can have fellowship with God. We can walk with God. Think about that, that God gives us a nature that can actually experience God. That's big. And then third, walking with God implies a surrendered will, which means walking in the light as Christ Himself is in the light. We walk righteously. You can't walk in the light if you're having fellowship with darkness. So you walk in the light. Such a heart is spirit-filled, which means we are walking according to God's commandments, 2 John 6. We are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You can tell if you're walking with God. You can tell if you're pleasing God, if you want to obey God. If you're manifesting patience with people who sometimes make life difficult for you. You practice forgiving people. You have joy in your heart. There's a certain peace in your soul when you're walking with God. Ladies and gentlemen, walking with God is the epitome of living. It's the epitome of life. Again, we are walking in the light. We are walking in the truth of God's words. 3 John verse 4. We are walking circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15. We are walking wisely, which all means we are walking even as Christ walked. 1 John 2:6. And then one more, walking with God implies a continued walk of faith. For we walk, we quoted this verse earlier, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We say, Lord, you know the way through the wilderness. All I'm going to do is follow you. Take my hand and lead me on. Lead me home. I reckon my stubbornness dead. And I say, Lord, you lead me. Lord, you lead me through life. I am yours to lead. I mean, we are so stubborn. We are so willful. We want to have our hands on the wheel of our life. And consequently, we are always steering our vehicle into the ditches of life. When you are in charge of your life, or when your hands are on the wheel of your life, you seek to live your life for yourself. You live your life to satisfy yourself, which means you live your life to satisfy the lust of the flesh. And I can promise you, that's a dangerous spiral downward. It's a very sad and unfulfilled life to live when you seek to say, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to please myself to live as I live my life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the most unfulfilled life you can have. The end thereof are the ways of death. And I see it all the time. People refusing to yield their will to God. And then they wonder why their families are falling apart. They wonder why there's just no peace and happiness and fulfillment in their lives. Can I say it? You can be like Jif Pum and have 8 million followers and still be the most miserable person on earth. The number of followers does not make you happy. Say, well, Pastor, you don't know. You aren't on social media. Whether I'm on there or not, I know. I know. Walking with God implies a continual walk of faith. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And like Enoch, such a life then witnesses for God. Listen to what Jude verses 14 and 15 tell us. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches and of all which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch witnessed for God. You know, when you walk with God, God uses you to witness for him. And ladies and gentlemen, people need to hear witnesses for God. That's what I hope I'm doing this morning. That I'm witnessing for him. And then God rewarded Enoch for being such a witness as he walked with God. And as we see again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death And he was not found because before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony to have, that he pleased God. If someone was going to stand up and testify, eulogize your life, would they say, this is a man, this is a young man, this is a lady, this is a young lady, this is a teenager, a child who has lived his or her life to please God? Can I say that that's the ultimate in praise? That this is a person who so lived that he or she pleased God. And what did God do on Enoch's behalf? He took him home to heaven without him experiencing death. As Genesis 5:24 states, he was not, for God took him. And when we faithfully walk with God, we can look forward to being one day in God's very presence. And it's either going to be by death, precious is in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints, death of his godly ones, or by rapture, when Jesus returns for his bride, the church. Just as Enoch was translated to heaven without seeing death, so also will be God's people who are alive at his coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 states, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming again. And you want to make sure before he comes that you are walking with him, that you are pleasing him, that you hear then from him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it matters that we please God. Can I say, it really doesn't, I mean, we want to please men, but it really doesn't matter, because usually if you please God, you're not going to be a real popular person that pleases men. But it matters that we please God. Our eternal destiny hinges on us pleasing God. Entering into the joy of our Lord is dependent on us pleasing God. I say, oh, might we please God by believing that Jesus is, that he exists. And number two, believing that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Sometimes we say, Lord, is it worth it? Is it worth giving up my will to you? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, it's worth it. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Might we believe in him for salvation. John 3:16, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then let's trust him with our lives, a life that walks with him in newness of life. Ladies and gentlemen, you can trust God who created you, who created the world in which we live. You can trust him with your life. He knows the way that you take. You can trust him with your life. And what does that life look like? John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a beautiful way to live. Who is our example? Well, we looked at Enoch as an example of one who walked with God. But who else is an example? Who else is someone who sought to please God? It was Jesus. Romans 15:3 states, "For even Christ pleased not himself." He's God. But when he came to this earth, he yielded his will to the Spirit of God. He yielded his will to the will of his Father. And so it says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee, Father, fell on me." And as a result, Christ is the one with whom God was well pleased. Oh, might we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Pleasing God and walking with God brings true joy, something millions of followers on Facebook or Instagram can never give.